Me too.
I come into church this morning, heard a song on the radio. I'd heard it before, it's kind of cool. I don't know if you noticed the sermon title today is For God So Loved. I hadn't talked to Jenny at all about her devotions. It was about love. Pretty cool. And a song that I heard this morning is, the words are, I don't know who told you you could not make it. I don't know who told you you could not take it. I don't know who told you you're not enough. My God says it ain't over yet. Huh? I thought, whoa, it ain't over yet. So God's involved in it. It's never over. Isn't that cool? I thought that's really cool. See why I don't need any Mountain Dew? Huh? Like the Lord, like, man, this is awesome. So we got a sermon today. I don't know. The Lord gave this to me about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and it's been working on it. And we're going to, let's see where it goes. Let's go to the Lord in prayer first. Father, we humbly come before your throne. Father, I'm looking for you to show up this morning. I want you to just take me out of the way. Father, I want you to use me in your way and just speak the words that need to be spoken. We can apply your word to our lives. Know that you are God and that we are loved by the creator of the universe. We are loved by the creator of the universe. I thank you, Father. I praise you for that. I thank you. Father, just be with us this morning. The Holy Spirit, just do his thing. I'm looking forward to show up. Father, I praise you and love you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. I'm going to be in John chapter 3 if you want to go there. I got a couple more verses there that I didn't give Julie, but I'm going to be in John chapter 3. This whole thing kind of started. You think we live in an age of rage? I think most people are walking around at 211 degrees. And one little thing, poof, you know? I'm like, wow, people are really mad a lot. And I was looking at some statistics, and this is kind of off the beaten path, but statistic is four people every year die from vending machines. Four people. They get so mad that they can't get the stuff out of the vending machine, they rock it, and it falls on them and kills them. Whoa! Isn't that something? And I'm like, that's a crazy statistic, isn't it? People are really angry, right? I didn't get my, $2? I don't know what they are. I don't use vending machines. But I'm just saying, people die every year because they're angry, shake that thing, and poof, kills them. Wow. Note to self, do not shake the vending machine. All right? You don't want to become that statistic. And I thought, wouldn't that be something to get to heaven? How'd you get here? Huh? You know what I'm saying? Wouldn't that be bad? Anyway, it's off the beat path. But John chapter 3, got some verses we're going to look at. Jesus talking. John chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. And we're going to cover one of the probably the most well-known verses in the Bible. But the Lord really, it really showed me some stuff. Right? I guess I just want to talk to you about it. I was thinking about love. And I loved my mother. Probably you did. When I was growing up, I think I loved my mother because of what she did for me. You know, she cooked, she cleaned, she kissed my boo-boo, she took care of me. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't until I got older and was moved out, and family of my own, different things like that, that I really began to appreciate how much I loved my mother for just who she was. And I wonder sometimes if God doesn't think, do you love me because of what I do for you? Because, you know, we go to him all the time in prayer, right? We have requests. We ask him for stuff, right? We want him to heal people. We want him to be involved in our life. And that's awesome, right? We want that, right? I wonder sometimes God says, do you love me because of what I do for you? Or do you love me for who I am? We're going to look at that today. John chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 14, I guess. Maybe 13. Let's go to 13. I'm going to mess with you, Alan. All right, brother. He's sharp up there, wide awake, ready to go. Jesus says, "And yet no one has ever gone up to heaven, but there is one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man himself, who dwells in heaven." Verse 14 says, "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert on a pole, so it is necessary that the Son of Man be lifted up on the cross." This is kind of just a throw-in verse kind of thing. You know, you read this, not much to it. I want you to see something. It's Numbers 21, Old Testament. Numbers chapter 21. And the children of Israel, I mean, they come out of captivity. They messed up, did some stuff. They're going to spend some time in the desert. 38 years. And they're traveling around, and they get in a fight. In chapter 21, the Canaanites, they fight with them, and they take some of them captive. And the Israelites people say, "You know what, God? If you give them to us, we're going to destroy them." And he did. So they won a great battle, great victory. They had destroyed this other people that was trying to kill them. Seems pretty good, right? Verse 4. "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient, depressed, much discouraged, because of the trials upon the way." Does that sound like us? You ever get discouraged because things aren't happening fast enough for you? Yeah. Life is not going fast enough for you? Really? It seems like I get up and I'm ready to go to bed again. It's like the day was like, poof, gone. So fast, right? So they become impatient. Verse 5. "They spoke against God and against Moses, 'Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness?'" "There is no bread, neither is there any water, and we don't like this light manna." You ever complain about anything? Yes. Kids, you ever complain about supper mom makes? "I don't like that." Huh? You ever have that as a mom? You ever have the kids? "I don't like that." Huh? Yeah. You know, God's pretty swift in his judgment on these people here. Listen to this. Verse 6, "The Lord sends fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of them died." Wow. So they're complaining. "I don't like this manna." Right? And God says, "Okay, maybe you ain't going to like these serpents either." He goes and he bites them, and the people die because of snake bite, right? People die. Snakes bite and they die, right? Verse 7, "The people come to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray the Lord that he may take away his serpents from us.' So Moses prays for the people. The Lord says to Moses, 'Make a fiery serpent of bronze, set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten when he looks at it shall live.'" Verse 9, "And Moses made a serpent of bronze, put it on a pole, and if a serpent had bitten any man, woman, child, any person, when he looked to the serpent of bronze, he looked at it with a steady gaze, he lived." And the Israelites journeyed and camped at Obeth. And that's it. That's all you hear. But think, I want to get back here. The Lord Jesus Christ says, you know, as a serpent was lifted up on the pole. We know snakes are kind of synonymous with sin. You know what I mean? Kind of are. Why did God do this? It's kind of interesting to me. I started looking at this, you know. This bronze serpent puts him up on a pole. Let me ask you a question. If you got bit by a snake, somebody said, "Dude, you look at that, you'll be okay, you won't die." You're just going to go, "I'm good." What are you going to do? I mean, you ever been bit by a snake? It hurts. Yeah, they're pretty mean. You bit by a snake, it hurts, right? So, and somebody says to you, "You get bit by that snake, if you look at that serpent on that pole, you're going to live." What kind of a look are you going to give them? What kind of a look are you going to make to that? What Christ said, as the serpent was lifted up on the pole, so I'm going to have to be lifted up on the pole. You're going to have to look at the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to have to look at him. You're going to have to see him on that cross. Are you just going to glance? "Yeah, I'm good." Are you going to think, "Why did you do that for me? Why? Why would you put yourself through that for me? because I know me, and you know you. Why would you put yourself through that? So the gaze I'm going to put upon that cross is not just a fleeting glance. It's going to be a glance. It's going to be a look that I'm looking at. It's kind of like looking at that food over there. Thinking, yeah, look at that. That looks pretty good. That tries to laugh. You know what I'm saying? It ain't just a glance. You know what I mean? You go over and look at the donuts. I watch people. They go, oh, that's a nice one right there. You know what I mean? You're looking for the one you want, right? It's calling your name. Right? The donut's calling your name, right? Point I'm trying to make here, that look, when you look, these Israelites, when they looked at that serpent on the pole, it wasn't just a glance. It was a look. They were looking by faith, believe they're going to live. Just as we look at the cross by faith, believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sin, paid that penalty on the cross, and we're going to spend eternity with Him in heaven. Isn't that something? That's a look, isn't it? That's a look. All right. That ain't even the main verse we got yet. Back to John chapter 3. Verse 15. So when you look at that cross, as they looked at that snake on the pole, that bronze serpent, we look at the Son of Man lifted up in order that everyone who believes in Him, who cleaves to Him, trusts Him, relies on Him, may not perish, but have eternal life and actually live forever. Isn't that interesting? Verse 15, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to look. You're going to look at that cross. That's hard, isn't it? You guys ever see the Passion of Christ? That's a rough one. That's a hard one. That ain't a popcorn and pop kind of movie, is it? No. And I look at that, I think, why? I look at that. Because He didn't want you to perish. And this word for perish doesn't mean to be non-existent. In the Greek, it actually means a state of consciousness. Not well-being. It's a bad. It's a state of consciousness of sin. It's a state of consciousness. You're going to... I wonder. We don't have any real good... I wonder what it's going to be like in hell. I've heard a lot of people commentary, different things. I've read a lot of different things. A lot of people believe that part of that torment in hell is going to be you knowing exactly what you did. And you knowing... the multiple, maybe one time, maybe hundreds of times, that someone talked to you about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you didn't accept it. And all the other mess that goes with hell, that's not someplace you want to be. It's not someplace you want your worst enemy to be. It's not. That's why I died for us, so we didn't perish, but that we could live forever. I'd say this before, you probably know it. You got two choices for eternity, smoking or non. It's one or the other. I mean, and to choose not to choose is already to choose. As bad as that sounds, it is. You have to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You have to. You don't have to. If you don't, you're going to reap the benefits of that decision. They're not going to be good. So he says all this. And in John 3:16, you all know that, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You could probably say that in your sleep, right? John 3:16 is an interesting verse. You got 12 words. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten. Then you got Son. Then you got 12 more words. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 12. Son in the middle. 12. That cool? Ever look at that before? That cool? Count it. The numbers got. That's pretty cool, isn't it? And the first part of that verse is, for God so loved. Do you ever tell somebody, Remember those commercials on TV years ago? They had the guy, I love you, man. Because he wanted something the other guy had, right? Like, oh, the drink or something. Whatever. You know what I'm saying? I love you. Do we say, I love you to the people that mean the most to us? And let them know that we mean it? God said, for God so, and the Amplified says, for he greatly loved and dearly prized those in the world. He so loved you. Check this out. God is holy. He's sinless, holy God. Cannot look on sin. He's God. He's holy. He's holy. Because of that, and of sin, you and I are sinners. I'm a sinner. Boiled down, I'm a sinner. So God couldn't look at me. Wow. Because he can't look at sin because I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. So God says, you know what? Because I love you so much, I'm going to have to do something about that. Because I love you. I'm going to do everything that it takes to pay for the price for you. I'm going to send my only, the one and only, none other like him ever, in eternity of eternities, the only one, I'm going to send my son. He's going to come down to earth and he's going to be incarnated as a man. And I'm going to beat him. I'm going to whip him. And I'm going to crush a crown of thorns on his head. And I'm going to put him on a cross. Because I love you. Oh. The penalty that Christ paid on that cross was for you and my sin. God had to be the one to exact the judgment on him for you and me. How much does he love you? Whoa, that's a lot, isn't it? Start thinking about that. I'm thinking, wow, God had to crush him for my sin. Wow, I think that's a pretty strong love, isn't it? What do you think? Seems pretty strong to me. Yeah. God said, I love you so much that I am going to send someone in your place to take your place that pays the penalty of debt and sin that's in your life. And if you rely on, if you look at you, throw your thing down. I get a little excited sometimes, sorry. If you look at the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross, by faith, believing he died for you on that cross, and accept him as your personal Savior. I'm going to come live with you. You're going to be my child. I'm going to love you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to empower you. I'm going to send my Holy Spirit to live inside you. Woo! Huh? Yeah! You got to believe the Lord Jesus Christ paid that price for you. What's he say? Last part of that verse is, whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting. You're going to spend eternities in the presence of the Almighty God. Do you ever think about what you're going to do in heaven? You're going to float around on a cloud eating Philadelphia cream cheese? No. I don't know. It's going to be a lot of stuff. I think we're being prepared in this life for what we're going to do in heaven. We're going to be doing something in heaven. I don't think you're going to just sit around and lay around and get lazy. I think it's going to be an awesome time. We're going to be praising. I love to praise and worship the Lord. I love to sing. Can you imagine all of us singing in perfect unity, in perfect harmony, sounding awesome in heaven? Millions upon millions, myriads of myriads of people going, yes! Wouldn't it be a great time? Isn't it going to be great? Yeah. And that's just the first second of eternity. You know what I'm saying? Isn't that awesome? Verse 17 says, for God did not send the Son into the world in order to judge the world, but that the world might find salvation and be made safe and sound through him. Jesus says, I didn't come to judge the world. And I was thinking about this. If we didn't have the Bible, how would we have any kind of a line, any kind of moral standard to live to? You think about that? If you did what you want to do and I did what I do, I was like, man, that Matt, you know what I mean? I don't know about that guy. You know, he didn't do the way I do. Matt said, well, Matt doesn't. He don't do the way I do. He ain't going to heaven, I can tell you that. Huh? I'm heathen. Huh? You know what I'm saying? If there was no standard, the Bible is the standard, guys. When the Lord Jesus, he said, you know what? I come to fulfill the law. I paid the price for every penalty of law. I've heard it explained a lot of different ways. A lot of different ways. Ten Commandments is like a glass. If you break one of them, you break the glass, right? Kind of makes sense. I heard it said that Ten Commandments is like hanging from a string. And any one of those breaks, you fall. Same idea, but different analogy. If we broke one commandment, ain't getting into heaven. Sorry, messed up. Because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did on that cross, he paid the sin penalty of debt that you and I owed. So, I can freely come to the throne of grace. I can ask God for forgiveness, and he forgives me, and he throws that sin out into the depths of the sea, right? And I go out there on my boat and I fish for it. Because I can't forgive myself. Huh? Because I sinned. I did something terrible. Terrible. God says, I've forgiven it. What's the matter with you? So when he throws that sin out into the depths of the sea, I think you ought to put a no fishing sign there. You got to leave it there. That's hard, isn't it? Because you know, when you look in the mirror, you know what kind of person you are, don't you? I look in the mirror, I know what kind of person I am. Huh? There ain't no fooling that guy in the mirror. There's no fooling him. Because Christ died on that cross, I can look at that mirror and think, you know what? You are a sorry sap. But God loves you. But God loves you. And he sent his son to die for you. And you are a child of the Almighty God. So what do you got a gloomy face about? What's the matter with you? Huh? Yeah. Verse 18. He who believes, clings to, trusts in, relies on the Lord Jesus Christ is not judged. And then the Amplified says, he who trusts in him never comes up for judgment. For him there is no rejection. No condemnation. But he who does not believe is judged already. And has already received his sentence because he has not believed in and trusted in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I like the way Amplified puts this. The person that doesn't believe, he's condemned for refusing to let his trust rest in Christ's name. When you look at the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross, he's the author and finisher of your faith. He's the one who paid the sin penalty debt for you and me on that cross. We have no judgment. We have no condemnation. You have become the righteousness of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Something? Huh? When I started looking at all the troubles I got in my life, you got any? I got some. Yeah, that's what that song's for. I don't know who told you you couldn't make it. I don't know who told you that. Who told you that? That's a lie from Satan. He said, you can't make it. You ain't good enough. No, I know I ain't. You ain't strong enough. No, I know I ain't. You ain't smart enough. I know I ain't. I got somebody with me who is. And I got the Holy Spirit living inside of me. It says, you know what? I can give you power and strength. And I can give you wisdom. All you got to do is ask me for it. Just ask me. Ask me. See what getting an extra hour of sleep does for me? Whoa! Huh? I'm like, come on. He says, just ask me. We don't have because we don't ask. When you pray, it should be we're supposed to pray for the desires of your heart. You know, I'd like that one of them donuts over there. Is that a desire? That's just a... Phew. When you pray to God, say, I need this. I need this. I need this. That's the way you pray, God. He knows you need this. He knows before you ask. He does. So we are allowing, when he says, let's just see what that map's going to do. He preached last Sunday on love of God. I'm just going to see what he's going to do this week. We're going to see just how good he really is. We're going to show him how good he really is. When them things come upon me and I get a little upset, 211 degrees, right there. Go to 212 pretty fast, right? Driving down the road, that guy cuts you off. Dude, it's on now. It is on now. Huh? You know what I'm saying? Y'all been there? No? Guy cuts you off at the line in the Walmart? Yeah? 211 degrees, you're right there ready to go, right? I'll take a breath. Father, I commit that as sin. I confess it. I confess that as sin. You gotta help me with this. You gotta help me with this. You know what? He's faithful. What's neat to me, when the Holy Spirit prompts me that way, I know it's time to take a breath. You're getting way too wound up. You're getting way too wound up. And then the Holy Spirit talks to me, and I hear a preacher on the radio, and then I hear a song, and it's like, dude, I know who told you. You couldn't make it. I'm here with you. I'm here with you. How are you not going to make it? How are you not going to make it? You know, I think when you're born, God has a set time for you to go home to be with him. Don't know when that is. Maybe young, maybe old. Don't know. Nobody knows. We don't know. And that's the great part about it. We don't know. But we have to live every day. Maybe it is your last. Never know. Never know. Had a lot of close calls in my life. You had a little close calls in your life? A lot of them. So why it's very important to let those you love know that you love them. Very important. Take every opportunity. If the Lord asks you to talk to somebody. We tried to get Alan to come down here and do a little clap-a-clap thing with one of the songs, you know what I mean? Right, brother? He's still shaking his head no. I mean, all day. No. You know what I'm saying? Can't get out of that comfort zone. I understand, brother. Believe me, I've been there. You've been there. You see what I'm saying? There's things that maybe I think I'll wait till tomorrow. Might not get tomorrow. None of us know. We're not promised tomorrow. Not one of us. That's why it's very important to let those you love know that you love them. Don't be afraid to step out. If God prompts you to do something, don't be afraid. Yeah, you're going to be. Let's look at a verse. I want you to see something. I want you to see something. I don't even remember where it's at. Back in 1 John. Let's go back and look at 1 John. 1 John. Let's see. I think I wrote it down. Rule for the whole world. God is love. What is it? 2? I'm going to find it. I'm going to find it. 1 John 2:2. I want to read 1 John 2:2. All right, Paul, that's what you want. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not for ours alone, but also for the sins of the whole world. Because he died for each and every one of us. Because he died for the whole world. Those people you don't like. You ever talk to somebody about God and they get kind of mad at you? Ever been there? You just don't because you know there's going to be a problem. God loves them too. Same as he loves you. And I keep that in prayer. And I guess I'm not... I like to vote. Everybody needs to vote. But I think as Christians, we need to pray for those people you vote for. I'm going to bring that up. I know the Lord taking me in a different avenue here. I'm sorry about that. But this is where we're going. You know, we vote people into office every couple of years, every 4 years. We vote them in. As people of the United States, you vote them in. Do you ever stop and pray for those people? Ever? Do we complain about what they do? How they talk, what they say. idiot, stupid stuff that they do? Yeah, I'm guilty. But do you ever sit down and pray for those people, for the wisdom of God to just overtake their life, and that He would lead and guide our country in the way it needs to be led? Thought I had to say that. I don't know. Love casts out all fear. Because God loves us, He casts out all fear. Do you believe that God loves you? Ask you a question. Do you believe God loves you? Yeah. When things are going bad, do you believe God loves you? When things are really hard, do you believe God loves you? When somebody's giving you a hard time and maybe cussing you out, calling you bad names, do you know God still loves you? Yeah. I'm going to have to stop. Yeah, the Lord impressed upon me to stop. I guess the biggest thing I want you to take from today's sermon is God loves you with a love that never ends. He's always pursuing, always looking for you. He's always taking care of you. No matter what happens, the Lord is in it. The Lord is in it. And when you look at the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross, we have to look at Him with a gaze that expects something to happen. Knowing that He is God, no matter what happens, He's in charge of our life. The praise band's coming forward. I'd like the elders to come forward this morning. This is the time we always offer every week prayer. Do you need prayer for anything?